Well, firstly, Tyne, we're disappointed for Michael Baxter. He's had two wins in the court over the last couple of years, definitive wins. So we feel sad that Michael is again going to be dragged through this when he thought the process was over. And the great thing about Michael Baxter is he just wants to go back to his farm, use all modern technology and set his boys up for the future. So, you know, we feel for him at the moment. But secondly, we're not surprised that Steve Marsh is pursuing this until he runs out or exhausts all his legal options. So, you know, we're not surprised that they're pursuing a High Court hearing.
So it was expected. You're expecting to hear this?
I just don't think, given whatever the facts are or the findings that have been teased out in the Supreme Court, makes any difference to Steve Marsh and his legal team. They think they've got a case here and they're going to pursue it through every legal avenue they can. So they're not giving up. Now, I always acknowledge that everyone's got the right to use the law in the way they see fit. So we're not criticising Steve Marsh for pursuing it to the next level. I think he's got his challenges doing that. But we do think it is unnecessary. The findings in the Supreme Court have been quite definitive.
In the Supreme Court, as you said, it was found in favour of Mr. Baxter. However, John, I have to say that it was a 2-1 decision and that the Justice McClure, Carmel McClure, actually found in favour of Mr. Marsh in that case. So there was judgment that actually found in favour of his case.
I acknowledge that, Tyne. We're not sort of ignoring that. But when you read the other two verdicts, it is really definitive that Steve Marsh shouldn't have been decertified. We go back to that original point that Steve was decertified by his organic body for something that happened accidentally. Now, just on principle, you know, that should not happen. Is that what we do in the organic industry? So on that very point, it just shouldn't have pursued. This should have been solved over the fence like many other issues, but not ignoring the dissenting view, but the majority view was that there is no problem here with coexistence between organic farmers and GM or non-GM farmers.
In that case, though, in that decision, John, it was found that Mr. Baxter's use of his land did constitute a wrongful interference with Mr. Marsh's use or enjoyment of his land. So there is a case, there is someone that does agree with that point of view.
There certainly is, but when we have a look at common law, it is not, you are not able to pursue or sue someone for a perceived economic loss. Where losses are pursued in the court, where actual damage has occurred to the neighbouring property, like spray damage or some stock get into the adjoining property and damage it. In this case, no physical damage was done to Steve Marsh's property and no damage was done to his end product. So they are the important points that the industry in WA and Australia needs to focus on, that this is pursuing a perceived economic loss. No damages, physical damages, were done to Steve Marsh's property.
One of the main operations that have been looked at and questioned is swathing, that type of harvesting. In that case, in this type of harvesting method, do you see that that can constitute any type of negligence in this case, John?
Absolutely not. Swathing is standard practice in the canola industry. From a personal perspective, we've been growing canola since the early 90s. On year one, we swathed. Swathing is standard practice on our farm, and it is on many other farms as well. Direct heading is used as well, and we have a perennial argument over which is best practice on a particular farm. Farmers weigh up their practices every day, but the important point here, Tyne, is swathing is standard practice in Australia. For a pre-harvest ripening mechanism in Australia, but also globally as well. So it's well recognised as standard practice.
How important is it then that this High Court, if it does go to the High Court, finds that that isn't negligence for those types of farming operations?
Well, firstly, Tom, we don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves because there is quite a process that Steve Marsh's legal team will have to go through for it to be heard at the High Court level. So listeners must understand that, yes, they are going to put forward a proposal and reasons why it should be heard in the High Court, but that doesn't mean it's going to happen. So we must take this step by step. The industry, the grain industry specifically, will deal with any findings, time, and we won't ignore those. The court, is the highest office in the land, so we will deal with things as they come along. But I must stress, for all farmers in Western Australia and Australia, swathing is standard practice.
What do you think the chances are that it will go to the High Court? As you said, there's quite a process. I've been told it could be up to 6 months before we hear if this case will even go to the High Court. But what do you think the chances are that it will?
Tyne, I have my personal opinion, but I must say that I'm no expert on the law. My job is to support Michael Baxter, is to support Coexistence, and to support the members of the PGA, which is what I do. The law is not my area of expertise, so I'm reticent to really give an opinion. All I know is that there's quite a process to go through, and Steve Marsh's defence team is desperately wanting to remain relevant on this issue, so they are going to pursue it legally as far as they can until all options are exhausted, ignoring the facts that have been borne out in the court cases so far.
Scott Kinnear from the Safe Food Foundation, who has been supporting Steve Marsh financially and I guess emotionally in a way as well, John, has said that if they don't get special leave to the High Court, it's not going to stop there for them. They're going to then place more pressure on the government to see legislative changes. How do you feel hearing that, especially as a farmer yourself as well?
Tyne, that's nothing new. Look, I've heard that for 10 or 15 years. They want the law strengthened around on-farm GM growing activities. They want precautionary principle reintroduced into agriculture. I've heard many different variations of new regulation or legislation being proposed by the anti-GM groups. But the fact of the matter is, Coexistence works perfectly well in Australia and globally with GM crops, non-GM crops and organic crops. And the case, Tyne, shows us that. The facts are irrefutable to some degree. So we think that regulation actually should go the other way, that it's time now that the state government repealed the GM Crops Free Area Act, because we don't want government making marketing-based decisions for farmers. That's up to the farmer, and that's up to the bulk handling companies that store and export our grain.
Will you be placing pressure on the government to appeal that act, John?
Since I've been involved at the PGA and well before my time, we have pushed for state governments to repeal the GM Crops Free Area Act. Our activities are heightened at the moment in regards to that. It looks likely that will happen, and it should. We will never give up on that.
It seems that the fight over GM will never be over, John.
Sometimes in society, Tyne, debates go on for long periods of time. This debate will be no different. There's strong views on either side, but the court cases are teasing out the facts for us. That's gone in the industry's favour. That's gone in the favour of Coexistence so far. That's a good thing. So we don't shy away from things being heard in the court, because the facts come out and they're in our favour at the moment. So, yes, it's a long debate. It's tiring for those on all sides, but the future of this technology could really enhance the viability of the wheat belt, and I'm never going to give up on that.
John Snook from the Pastoralists and Graziers Association, thank you for your time.
Thanks, Tyne.